Hello, and welcome to the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas, and this is the show where each week I read a chapter from a different indie author. Thanks for joining me for today's reading. Hi, everybody. Happy Friday, and thanks for joining me for episode number 25, the quartal episode of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. As always, I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas. As always, I'm thrilled to be here with you today. Today, we'll have an extremely short episode. My apologies if you were counting on a good long one. The reason is that I am in the final throes of getting a book finished for publication. It's on pre-order on KDP right now. And the pre-order deadline before I can't make any more changes is tomorrow night. And I have miles to go. So we're going to have a very short episode today. If this is your first time listening, this is the show where each week I feature the content of a different indie author, typically by reading a chapter or similar excerpt from one of their books, and by speaking a little bit about how I found or encountered that author. Sometimes I talk a little bit about their genre or what they're doing. And on a rare occasion, just three times so far, we'll have an author interview, which has been a lot of fun. So I invite you to check out the backlist if you see any authors you're interested in, and to come back next week when things will resume some sense of normalcy. If you've been with me since the beginning, here in March of 2017, you'll remember that I've featured authors Michael Anderley, Patty Jansen, Timothy Ellis, Mark E. Cooper, Evan Pickering, Joseph R. Lalo, Izzy Shows, Alexa Kang, Jeffrey Poole, myself, Benjamin Douglas, Chris Fox, L. Casey, Elizabeth Ann West with an interview, Stella Wilkinson, Adarin Wood, Alan Peterson, J.R. Nichols, Roberta Kagan, David Spiller, Jonathan Paul Isaacs, Boyd Craven III with another interview, L.L. McNeil, Hal Archer, and Wendy Terrien with the third interview. I love this list of authors. There's nothing like doing a podcast and featuring writers to make you feel connected to this community of writers. Each and every single one of these people, even the ones who my only contact was a brief email exchange, I now feel closer to in a way that, not a weird way, but just a way that is difficult for me to explain, because there's some sort of personal contact attached to the name now, and I've explored their work with you. Go back and check out that list if you heard any names you're interested in. It's great. One of the things I love about this show is the variety, not only across genre. We've had a lot of science fiction, obviously. We've also had some epic fantasy, some urban fantasy, steampunk. Couple of times we've done post-apocalyptic. We've had YA romance, YA urban fantasy, sort of a period Pride and Prejudice variation, kind of a Darcy romance. We've been all over the map. A couple of World War II historical fictions. And we've got plans for lots more interesting stuff, lots more science fiction, some romance on the way, probably some more historical fiction down the line, it looks like, and some interesting fantasy. So stick around, come back. The variety of authors, sort of in terms of success, too. We started with Michael Anderley, for crying out the window. And not everyone we featured on the show is Michael Anderley, neither in terms of financial success, nor in terms of artistic goals, necessarily. The whole concept of the show has always been to collect and create and curate a body of reference material, really. A place you can go on your phone or whatever when you're washing the dishes or taking a stroll or at the gym. And for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, sometimes 40 or 50 minutes, you can expose yourself to the work of Timothy Ellis or Patty Jansen or Izzy Shows and just kind of, you know, hear a little bit about their author journey and then hear their actual writing to get a feel for their prose, their pacing, their narrative voice, their use of grammar, and all these things. Sort of so you can see what's going on in the different genres, and so that you can see what's going on in the indie author community. I love that concept. We're going to keep doing that. I want to ask you all for input, though. As we move forward after this first 25 episodes, please feel free to contact me by dropping in the show notes or emailing me at BenjaminDouglasBooks@gmail.com or just say hey on Twitter. I'm at CantankerousBen. And if you have any ideas for things you'd love to hear happen on the show, we do have a couple of reoccurring segments that will continue, including my poetry readings. Yay! And I do plan on publishing, I have decided, a poetry collection, but it's probably going to be a couple of months because I want to edit that a bit. Anything else comes to mind, let me know. A little forecasting, a little tease for you. I do plan on doing more interviews. I'm just finding that they bring me a lot of value, personally. As an author, I'm learning the most as a writer from these other authors when I interview them. And like I said last week, I think the interviews are different enough from what you're hearing on other shows. And I think the authors being interviewed are different people. People you're hearing on a lot of other shows who are just doing big promo pushes, you know, bless them. That I think there's some value here. So, yeah, give me a shout out. Say hello. Send me a picture of your cat. Let me know what you'd like to hear. Yeah, so that's my spiel for the day. My reading today is also going to be brief, and it's going to be from, drumroll please, indie author Benjamin Douglas. That is me. It's the second time I've read from my own work, but it's a different book this time. This is a reading from The Hidden Prophet, which is book 2 of my Starship Fairfax series. If you enjoy action, adventure, science fiction, with a little bit of campy humor, pretty fast pacing, a dash of military sci-fi, but not super in-depth military stuff, you might enjoy this. If you're a fan of, you know, Star Trek, or Farscape, or Firefly, or, I know I drop her name left and right, but the science fiction of Lindsay Baroker, which my work is not nearly as good as, but I have in some ways modeled my tone after hers because I enjoy it so much as I discover my own voice. I think you might enjoy these. So I'd advise you check them out. You know, I still have a perma-free title, Totaled. It's just a short story, about 7,000 words. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's free. It's also in a 99-cent anthology called The Officer, which is full of short stories. And I have a free short story called The Trials of Io that is only available if you sign up for my mailing list. And both of those short stories are prequels to Starship Fairfax. So, enough self-promotion. Shameless! And on to the reading. This is Chapter 2 from The Hidden Prophet, Book 2 of Starship Fairfax by Benjamin Douglas. I hope you enjoy it. Ada Zander ducked. The big, meaty fist of her opponent flew through the air, and he grunted with the effort of keeping his balance. She stepped back. She couldn't dodge all day. Sooner or later, she would be out of room, and he would make contact. Voices jeered from all around. Ada took a deep breath, watched another fist come up, and this time she dove under and rolled across the ground, buying some space. she came to her feet facing out and immediately regretted it. A wad of spit landed across her face.
"Quit your running!"
The man facing her from in the crowd was scrawny and hairy, and he yelled with wild eyes, wiping spittle from his chin. Ah, so he was the one trying to encourage her with a little extra hydration. Ada and her hulking opponent were ringed by a small crowd of some of the ugliest, smelliest, and meanest men in the system. "I hate pirates," she thought. So why had she become one? Dad. Right. Eye on the prize, Ada. She turned in time to see the massive man lifting his arm once more and moving to close the few steps she'd gained. She began to pivot.
"No, you don't!"
A vice-like grip closed over either arm. That would be Spittle Chin, doing his part to ensure a fair fight. Huh. His breath stank of rot. She turned her head, grimacing. Another meat fist came sailing down, this one aimed straight for her nose. "Sorry," she called over her shoulder.
"What?"
As hard as she could, she stomped down on his toes. His grip loosened. A quick elbow to his gut, and she was able to spin to the side. She might have encouraged him back to a standing position by grabbing his hair and yanking up as she spun. The meaty fist made contact, but not with Ada. The crowd broke out into a fresh round of jeering and cheering. Spittleface crumpled in a heap, blood spurting from his nose. "Not sorry," she muttered. The moving mountain shook his hand out, growling as he turned.
"Bone crusher!"
An authoritative voice rang, and the pirates fell silent. The crowd parted as the owner of the voice passed into the circle. She was almost as tall as Bone Crusher, her mouth set in a permanent stern line, her hair tied back behind her head in long gray strands. She nodded at Bone Crusher, and he stalked off. Then she peered down at Ada from under the brim of a tattered black hat. "You're all kinds of trouble, girl." Ada, still catching her breath, wiped the spit from her face. "Yeah, sorry about that." The woman made a face.
"No, you ain't. Maybe you will be, though. Seeing as I can't trust you as crew, figure I may as well take the scraps, shipping you out as cargo instead."
The woman spat on the ground. Horror seeped into Ada.
"Carmen, no! I'll do anything!"
"I imagine as you will, once they've broke you in."
Carmen glared down at her.
"Ain't no worse than you deserve. Bitch got a break before she can run with a pack."
She stepped a little closer and lowered her voice.
"Only, if you ever find your way out of the trade, don't you dare come back sniffing around here. This pack is one place you ain't never welcome. Not no more."
The crowd dispersed, save for Bone Crusher, who had reappeared with a bandage around his knuckles.
"Sorry, Ada," he rumbled. didn't want to hurt you.
I know. She patted his enormous arm. Bone Crusher was like a dog. He just did what he was told. For most people, that wouldn't excuse violent behavior. For Bone Crusher, Ada had come to accept it was just who he was. Awfully glad you didn't get around to it, though. He guffawed.
Oh, come on. I almost had you once. Twice. You're a fast little thing, ain't ya?
She shrugged. We do what we can with what we have. He scrunched up his face in concentration.
Smart, too. Shame about what's coming next.
It is, she sighed. I suppose you've stuck around to escort me to the brig.
Sorry, Ada. Orders.
She nodded. Ada was being shipped off for whoring in the morning, after having been thrown in the ring with the most ridiculously muscle-bound behemoth of a man she'd ever seen, because she'd lost the core of her ship. Well, Carmen's ship. And there was that small issue of the missing prophet, the drug that had been smuggled in system on board that Kuiper colony ship. Ada had joined a crew shortly after they'd picked up the prophet, along with its handler. But after a short stop at Ceres to refuel, the handler and the drug had gone missing. That pesky colony ship had shown up, and they'd taken the ship, thinking to find their runaway there, but no dice. The rat had clearly taken the drug and headed back to Mars to carve it up himself. The Colonials had somehow retaken their ship and stolen the core from Carmen's in the process. When Carmen scooped Ada up from Ceres' orbit a day later, they'd lost the prophet, the handler, the ship's core, and her commander. So, to put it briefly, Ada was on the naughty list. Funny thing was, Ada was a Colonial herself. She'd only come in system searching for news of her missing father, and had fallen in with Carmen's crews first as a way to survive, then to blend in. Now, the choice was going to cost her.
Been real nice flying with you, Bone Crusher said.
They walked down a narrow corridor toward the brig. You too, Crush. You gonna manage to stay out of trouble without me around? He grinned again.
Me? Stay out of trouble? What would I do without it?
They had come to the door, and he gave her a gentle shove in, which meant she had to struggle to stay on her feet. Then he motioned for her to come back to the door. He squinted at her and tried his best to whisper.
Enjoy your dinner, Ada.
She frowned. Sure, Crush. Thanks.
No!
His eyes grew wide.
I mean, you know, enjoy it.
He winked, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Whatever that meant. Like a dog, right? She returned the wink.
I will, she said, knowingly.
5 minutes later, she was pacing her cell and had forgotten all about it. An hour later, she was digging into a bowl of hot mash when her fingers closed around a small black device. She dug it out, wiped it clean on her shirt, and powered it up. A little holo console flared up, displaying options for keys, cutters, and small blast weaponry.
"Oh, Crush," she smiled. "You shouldn't have."
This concludes another episode of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. Thanks for joining me, your host, Benjamin Douglas, for another indie author reading. If you liked what you heard, be sure to visit http://thebookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com for more episodes and for links to the author's website and the author's Amazon author page in the show notes. If you'd like to follow me on my own author journey, you can find me at http://benjamindouglasbooks.wordpress.com. And of course, if you're an indie author interested in having your work featured on the show, or if you're interested in discussing having your book read and produced by me as an audiobook, feel free to contact me at BenjaminDouglasBooks@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a productive and enjoyable weekend.